Welcome back to episode 9 of Matt Chats, and I did promise a brand new guest last episode. I wasn't expecting the double trouble that I've got. I've got Stephen Kemp and Thomas Walden. How are we, lads?
G'day, Matty. Absolute pleasure to be here with you.
Sound excited, Tom?
Matty, it is a pleasure, mate. I did storm in on Steve's podcast, but it's an absolute honour to be here, mate.
It's exciting to have you here. Now, I want to rattle some stats because I've got you my cricket career stats up here.
This will be very quick.
This is ugly.
I'm going off full career stats, so I'm not filtering it to any team. Thomas won 101 matches, high score of 106, best bowling of 3 for 15, 1,826 runs, 200s, 550s and 10 darks. And you bowled 193 overs, under bowled in my opinion, but
yeah,
come back to that a bit later.
Career shortcoming of mine, the bowling, the talent was overlooked, I feel.
I'd agree.
See, the issue was we both played a lot of games in Geraldton, and Geraldton being decades behind didn't actually get my cricket till about 2011 or 12.
Okay.
And by that stage, I'd stopped playing in Geraldton, and all the best years of my life were gone.
Yeah.
It's upsetting. Well,
so we can really just like make up those stats and like
you can say they forgot really? The 7 for I thought.
Yeah. I actually took 13 in a one day game. True story.
Yeah.
In a one day game.
Yeah, we're just making shit up, right?
Oh, okay. Thought you might have done some sort of magical stuff. 161 matches for you, Stephen. High score of 56. Best figures of, do you know your best figures?
They're not on my cricket, but the ones that you've got are probably about 6 for 16, maybe? Against Calvary.
Thinks he's too good. 6 of 24.
Ooh.
Settle down, mate.
1,212 runs.
Jeez, where'd they come from?
One half century. And you have less ducks than Tom, only 8.
Yeah, so, well, you just got
to
put...
It's a lot easier to get ducks when you bat above.
Like when you're batting up the order.
Just got to put a value on the wicket, boys.
And overs, you bowled 813, so it's a lot more than Tom bowled.
Yeah.
Again, I was underutilised.
Do you feel like if you bowled the same amount overs, you could have been in the same realm of 179 wickets?
Oh, clearly.
Clearly?
Matty, you've seen the talent firsthand.
I have seen it. I'm going to jump in straight into a bit of cricket talk now. I'm going to talk a bit of IPL. Either you've been watching much of the IPL or...
Bits and bobs.
Bits and bobs.
Yeah. Obviously, last night... Lokesh Rahul, is that his name?
Oh, yeah.
Went bananas. Did any of you manage to catch a bit of that? Made a big 100. I think it was 130 off about 60 or 70 balls.
Didn't catch it.
Didn't catch it, but I'm going to guess there was quite a few windmill sixes in there if he's gone that quick.
132 off 69 to be exact. So big innings from Lokesh Rahul. He plays for the Kings 11 Punjab. So they made 206 and Royal Challengers Bangalore did not challenge them at all. They made 109.
Any Australian players in his team?
In the Kings 11 Punjab.
Captained by Maxi, aren't they?
Yeah. Captained by Maxi. Jimmy Neesham's in. He's not Australian, but don't know their full squad. Looking at Royal Challengers Bangalore. Oh, Finch and Felipe.
Do you feel, Matty, that Maxwell's really rubbing off on that bloke then? The way that he's playing?
I mean, maybe. Dale Steyn's really...
is he there as well?
He's there, but it's not going too well for him. He's getting hit around. I think he might be done. He went for none for 57 or 4 last night. Yeah. Didn't do well in the big match when he was here either, really.
Yeah. He's in the twilight of his career.
Yeah. Good night, Dale.
I think the pace is coming off. That's the problem. He was really, when he was the spearhead and bowling real quick, that was when he was scary.
Yeah, with the crazy eyes.
Yeah.
You might Cussie talk dance. About the crazy eyes. Yeah. If you don't have the pace to back up the crazy eyes, you look like just look like a bit of a spoon, don't you?
He had those big in-swing Yorkers like Brett Lee used to have too, and would just break and people's
elite
toes.
In the day.
Yeah.
Well, the danger man for the Royal Challengers Bangalore was the 2-over man, none for 13, Washington Sundar. Mm-hmm. Seemed like he was the most dangerous bowler.
What was his figures? 2 for what?
None for 13 off 2.
Oof.
Hmm.
Best economy of the lot.
Is he a local player?
Indian offie, I think.
Okay.
You look at that Challengers lineup, though. Getting out for 109, that's absolutely disgraceful. Look at the talent they've got.
I know.
Finch Felipe, Coley de Villiers. Oh, my Lord.
Even Washington Sundar up the order going bananas.
Hmm.
Slightly. 30.
You've got Coley. You've got, two of the best batters in the last decade with the... Coley and AB, and they can't even get caught, over 100. That's a bit sad.
Well, that Padikkal the other night, I'm pretty sure, made an 80-odd I believe me and you watched the replay together.
Yeah,
Stephen.
Yeah, and he lefty, wasn't he? Yeah. Like to go a little bit to the leg side, as is tradition in T20.
Did I see Pat Cummins went crazy the other night too?
He did.
Yeah, he hit 30 off and over or something. Or off 27.
Yeah. Yeah, it went massive, and there was huge sixes in that too.
Mm.
And, you know, who cares about Jasprit Bumrah? Send him. Let's go.
Put him in the mail.
I'm not looking forward to him playing us in the tests. That's coming up later this year.
Well, if we make the right selections, there won't be a problem.
He's elite.
He's quite good. Bowler.
Yeah.
Very quick.
Is he the young bloke? Like the real young bloke that plays for India?
I'd say he's late 20s now. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think you might be thinking of the Pakistan bloke.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
He's the fastest one-arm like bowler I've ever seen.
Yeah, not a long run-up either.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about now. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to jump in a bit of AFL.
Still,
I know you love
your
footy.
That's a huge sidestep there, Matty.
Just like to mix
bit of
it
a
up
goosey
here on
there.
The All Australian side was revealed last night. Either of you guys managed to catch it?
I didn't, but I'll grab it up so we can discuss, because it's always a big talking point, the old.
Yeah.
I remember you looking at it last night,
yeah.
Missing a name on there. And being outraged
and
for a very short period of time.
Found it.
Who were you most outraged that you didn't think was there, Matty?
Well, I thought Luke Ryan wasn't there, and I was like, oh, that's a big, big upset.
Yeah. As someone who's not a Freo fan, that would have been an absolute crime if he hadn't been selected.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just not a fan that they've named a forward line full of three midfielders. I think they should be picking players to position. They got Dangerfield and Bontempelli on the half forward flanks. Dangerfield sometimes goes forward. Bontempelli does not go forward. Like, why would he be, should he be selected on the half forward flank?
Yeah, I mean, the way Dangerfield was kicking goals though in that last game, and that lead that he made out of the bloody cage.
Yeah,
and the bloke pinned him straight on the chest. Like, I mean. Unfortunately, the bloke's just good. He could get picked in the midfields or the forwards.
I understand where you're coming from,
And it's probably rightfully so that he got captain as well. So,
yeah,
is it just a case of how many of the best midfielders can we fit into this team?
I think so. Yeah. Well, allegedly the two wings that have been named play 17% on the wing and 4% on the wing. I just don't rate that at all, in my opinion. Should be picking primary wingers. I think Sam Mangola could have been on that one of those wings. Maybe Mitch
Duncan.
Had a good
season, didn't he?
Who have they put on the wing at the moment?
Guthrie and McRae.
Yeah.
Who are primary in the middle.
Yeah.
Not a fan.
I think it's obviously a big honour to get picked in the All-Australian. But if this team's never actually going to play, we'll look at it for what it is. If this team's never actually going to play, then you can put blokes wherever you want.
That's true.
But
it sort of then defeats the purpose of picking it, because I agree with what Matty's saying, is that if you're a defender or even a small forward or a forward flank, and then you play your heart out all year, and then a bloke that plays 90% of the midfield takes your All-Australian spot, you'd be like, what am I going to do here, guys? I kick bags every week, and now I get done in for a midfielder.
I think Mitch Wallace was very unlucky not to make the 40-man squad.
Yeah, had a good year as well, didn't he? For
very impressive, Mitch Wallace.
Not a lot of the West Coast gun midfielders in there either, Steve.
I think Gaff's in there.
But not on the field playing.
He's on the bench. Okay, made the squad and didn't make the team.
Yeah,
hard to break into that when you say that.
Mm. I'm glad that Natanui got the ruck job. I'm surprised Matt Scorn even got in the 40-man squad, if I'm honest.
Yeah,
Goldstein had a very good year.
What happened to Grundy, mate?
Grundy has had a poor year
by his
standards. He's probably, I reckon, sixth or seventh ruck this year.
But is he that low because they're holding him to his standards or the standards of the rest of the players, though? Did he play bad in the way he can play, which could be better than some of the people?
I'd say he played bad in the way he could play, because he's... He keeps winning taps and just tapping it basically to opposition.
Yeah.
But his go-to is mainly that he's an extra midfielder, because he's
so agile.
Quite fit and agile and just haven't provided that this year. Hopefully he provides in the first final.
Yeah. His bad year, though, is a lot better than a fair few of those Ruckman's good
years.
That's
true.
Yeah, that's what
that's
I'm
true.
Yeah.
Like, I'd have a bad
and as well,
Brody Grundy year instead of a good or on the spot here. When was the last time, who's a good ruckman for Richmond?
Oh, Nankervis is good. Like, he's solid.
They just put a big body in there to block after the ball comes down, really. But that pretty guy, much, that guy yeah. that they've got in there at the moment, I'm not really sure.
Is it Ivan? No.
Ivan Soldo injured himself, but he was there, yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't get a whole lot of taps, and he's not going to pick the ball up off the ground.
There's
but
points
he
where
can
even
block out the midfielder so that the other blokes can run through.
Richmond, the Dogs have played just medium midfielders in there before. Just.
Well, I've seen even some of their midfielders going up for the taps when the ball's in like the forward pocket or something.
Yeah.
Because like their ruckman's still trying to yeah. jog through from the centre of the ground. Sorry, boys.
It's on his
Put
way.
Put me extra heavy boots on today.
Now, obviously there's a big final series coming up. West Coast and Collingwood are both there because they're playing each other. We'll talk about the other games. So we'll save West Coast Collingwood for last. So next Thursday, it all starts with Port Adelaide and Geelong. Port Adelaide are finishing top of the ladder, so they get the home final in Adelaide. Geelong probably, I reckon they've had a better season than fourth, to be honest.
Much better.
Yeah, but top four, you get that double chance. That's all you really need.
Yeah.
I think Geelong might actually knock off Port Adelaide in that first final.
When they played earlier in the year, they did an absolute job on
they
Port, didn't they?
Destroyed them.
It was like 10 goals or something.
It was
large.
Hawkins literally just decimated
had a field
their
day.
Whole back line.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because the Adelaide Oval, are they playing at Adelaide Oval?
It is at Adelaide Oval.
Very similar to the Cattery too.
That's true.
Like, doesn't have a huge grandstands, is a bit of a smaller ground. So,
yeah.
Like, I think, and as well, like, their main players from Adelaide, like, played there. So, like,
That's
he's
true.
Sort of, like, I don't think they go in there unaware of what's going to happen.
Yeah, nice.
As they would if they had to go like up to Brisbane or over here to the West Coast. But,
wouldn't
yeah.
it be nice to see Power like this on top all year, and then just go out in straight
yeah,
sets?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind it.
I'm not a Geelong fan.
Well,
I just wanted to state it for the
well,
record.
We remember when bloody Port and Geelong played 2007.
Yeah,
we might see another one of those where
maybe.
Everyone stopped watching that game at quarter time. Going, look, we know exactly who's going
to
win.
Similar
this
to
one.
Last year's grand final.
They're a lot better this year, though. Port.
They are. Well, yeah. I remember when the COVID break happened. They're like, because they're top of the ladder because they beat Gold Coast around. They're like, oh, yeah, we've all made a pact to each other to hold top spot for the rest of the year. And I was like,
yeah, no worries, boys.
You played
Fuck
Gold
off.
Coast.
I was like, you guys are dreaming, and they haven't moved. So.
Yeah. I think they're the only team that hasn't moved like in a position.
I think they moved to second on the weekend, but that was before they played their match.
Yeah, like the live ladder.
Yeah. So who are you guys tipping for that one, Port and Geelong?
Geelong.
Yeah, I'll go Geelong.
Oh, we'll go Geelong.
Yeah.
Next game, Brisbane and Richmond. It's at the Gabba. Brisbane, they've been decent, but obviously it helps when you're playing nearly every game at the Gabba. They've played a lot there, but happens and I still reckon Richmond will beat them.
Sort of begs the question, if Brisbane can play basically a whole season in Queensland and finish second, why is Collingwood not finishing second more consistently, considering they basically never leave Victoria?
That would be because there's a heap of teens in Melbourne, Stephen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Steve, they sometimes have to go to the other stadium, mate.
Yeah.
That's like a 30-minute drive.
They play at Etihad.
Yeah.
Look, I will just say that there is a lot of teens in Melbourne. It's hard to leave when half the comp's there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I suppose the one big thing that Brisbane has going for them is the Gabba, and Richmond usually plays a lot of their finals at home in front of a packed house.
Yeah.
Full of, because Richmond has such a huge
fan base,
and even when they're playing like early final series, they're packing the MCG out. So I think they will miss that.
I know that first final last year they went up to Brisbane and pumped them.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a repeat. I think Richmond will do Brisbane.
Yeah, you don't want to play Richmond at any point from now on.
They have to play at their pace and make sure Richmond doesn't run away from it. Otherwise, it probably won't be very close. But they got the second chance, right, Brisbane?
They do.
Those like humid, like sort of slippery conditions, Richmond will just eat that up.
Yeah. So we're all going Richmond?
You don't want to play Richmond until you have to get them in the grand final, I reckon.
And hope that they stuff up.
Yeah, just absolutely. Hope for the best.
Pray.
So we all going Richmond?
Yeah, go Richmond.
Next game, St Kilda and the Bulldogs. This is elimination. St Kilda finished sixth, so they're hosting it at the Gabba against the Dogs on Saturday afternoon. I'm pretty confident. I reckon the Dogs will win this.
Ooh.
I find it really hard to back because both of them are a little bit
inconsistent.
They're enigmas.
Yeah,
you don't
know
really
what
know
do.
What you're gonna get.
St Kilda's been playing some it's not like them to play the footy that they've been playing over the last couple of weeks. So they've been playing good structure, like good flowing.
Exciting.
Like, actually exciting footy for St Kilda. Like, St Kilda of, like, the 2010 sort of era that they were playing.
Well, it,
like,
couldn't get them a premiership then, and it won't get them a premiership now. Yeah. So.
Ooh, ouch.
But the Dogs only just scraped in. They needed a few things to go their way before they were able to get to where they were at, so...
I think the Bulldogs at their best are extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
I think they could do a bit of damage in the finals if they get through that first week.
I wouldn't be surprised if this is a draw and it goes to extra time.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against that.
Yeah. I think St Kilda's going to get up this one.
St Kilda? Yeah. What about yourself, Stephen?
I'll go the Dogs.
Yeah.
Only because I fondly remember 2016 when they beat Sydney.
Yeah.
That really sits with me. Like the Dogs, the underdogs.
I'm going to go the Dogs as well. Mm. And then the final game of the finals, week one, West Coast and Collingwood. West Coast finishing fifth, Collingwood eighth. So Collingwood are coming over here. West Coast going in as heavy, heavy favourites. 6:10 Perth time.
Heavy favourites?
Definitely.
The big for the Eddie Maguire come over with the team?
I think he will be. I'd imagine he will be.
Yep.
He went up to Queensland and hubbed, so I'd assume he would be coming with the team. I'd imagine he'll be at Optus Stadium next Saturday night. Yeah,
sure. Was there a story he went out drinking or something like that, didn't he?
Eddie? I don't know. I heard something briefly about it and then didn't hear what actually happened.
Yeah, nightclubbing with the
boys.
Yeah.
I heard something. I'm sure.
Just asking who wants to be a millionaire questions at 12 o'clock at a Goldie pub.
I mean, why not? Obviously, I'm going to tip the Pies because you never tip against your own team, and people who do are stupid.
Well, if you want to win footy tipping comps, you do.
Then you're unloyal.
Well, you never won a footy tipping comp, have you, bud?
I have, actually. Collingwood do have good years.
Obviously, you know where my allegiances lie, Matthew.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be very close because as much as we finish fifth, our patches that are good will beat anybody. And if we're not on, then we'll lose to anybody.
The problem is that it's over here and you guys just play like a top two team pretty much any time you're over here. You're very hard to beat.
Mm-hmm.
How many, like, because you guys have had heaps of ins and outs. Like, who's in, who's out this week? Like, are they going to be able to field a full strength side?
I think we have the majority of our team back except for Elliot Yeo, okay. Which is a big loss for us because he's a bull.
I think McGovern won't be playing either.
True, yeah.
But everyone else should be back.
We've got Barras and Hearn back there. Maybe Schofield as well if he still gets selected. Is he in the 22?
He'd be in the mix. I don't think he'd play.
He's been playing a lot of waffle, hasn't he?
No.
Playing a lot of nothing.
Oh, because
practice matches in the hub.
Yeah, I saw him playing a lot of waffle last year.
Yeah.
Who are they playing up? Who are Collingwood going to play forward? Because if they don't have McGovern, they could capitalise.
That could be our chance because the stupid thing about Collingwood and as much as I love Nathan Buckley, they just go, all right, we're just going to bomb it in. And when it doesn't work, let's just keep doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, and McGovern, if he was playing, would just sit there.
Would just keep cutting it off. But
yeah. Well, I was just about to say, like, if they can win balls out of the middle and spear it in instead of going high, you don't have an overly tall team at the moment, like we talked about at lunch. Like, if the ball goes to ground, it could be
the Goey Stevenson.
Just snapping a few not set shots, just making sure you get all the loose balls through the big sticks.
Well, you know I'm a huge Mason Cox fan, Stephen.
Is he playing?
He will be playing, 100%. He's been pretty good since he's come back. The problem, as much as Mason Cox isn't the answer, I think the main problem that there has been is that our kicking towards him is horrendous. You've got a 2 meter man, put it on the man's head. At least he's got to at least bring it to ground. Like,
I've always failed to understand. I'm not a big Mason Cox fan, but I don't understand how they use him and why they use him the way they do. It just seems like, he could be far better utilised. Yeah. But no, they're not. Like you say, put it on the bloke's head.
Because that's what you have to do. Because compared to some of the more agile forwards and rucks, like he's not a guy that's going to go diving on the ground for it. So like, if you put it below the chest/waist, he's not going to be able to reach it.
He's pretty agile. You see him, he kicked the goal and bounce on the run the other week.
I did.
Midfield line.
I choose not to answer.
Okay. So I'm going the Pies, probably by 55. That's not anything strange.
And that'll just be at half time, right?
Yeah. You guys, who are you going with, Stephen?
I'm going with West Coast.
Is it a night game?
It is a night game.
Next Saturday.
But
the only thing the Pies can pray for is rain.
Collingwood play horrendous footy in the rain.
So do West Coast, though.
It's true.
Horrendously bad in
Have
the
we
rain.
Checked the forecast?
Have a look.
Is there check out the forecast. Extended forecast?
I believe there would be.
If it's cold and rainy and windy, it could that could be a good chance for
Maybe Cox doesn't play if it's cold, wet and rainy.
19 and mostly sunny.
Well, I don't mind that.
Mostly sunny. There's still a chance.
Look, fingers crossed I can get a couple of tickets.
If you do, I'll go with you. I'll even sit in the Collingwood section.
Oh, well, yeah. You're in for a big night at Collingwood win, I tell you.
Make sure you take the safety glasses, not the reading glasses.
I reckon this is probably... this is the start of the holiday, I think, for Collingwood, the end of the season. The boys come over here and just... Once they stay, you know, they get here and they lose on Saturday.
Look.
They can go and experience the rest of WA.
Yeah, they can go.
I'll go out with them.
Go out to Rottnest, you know.
Look, I don't drink alcohol or indulge in that sort of things, but if Mason Cox comes up to me and offers me an alcoholic beverage, I'm drinking it. 100%.
You heard it here first, people.
100%. Any one of the Collingwood players. It could be a rookie who's never played a game.
If Collingwood knock off West Coast, then I promise you I'll go for Collingwood for the rest of the final series.
Thank you. There's only one man I really want to stick it up if Collingwood win,
yep.
And that's, you guys would know, James August.
Former president.
Yep.
Because he just berates the fuck out of me.
Any given opportunity,
constantly.
Really. And look, some of it is justified, but a lot of it isn't.
Just randomly. I'll get messages from him.
Yeah.
Just randomly, oh, your season's over.
Do you think he's laying in bed at night? And he'll out of nowhere wake up and, Matthew,
yeah.
I'll get him. And he...
Halfway done with the missus thing.
Oh, Jesus. Maybe we'll get August on the podcast at some point. Yeah. He said he has been listening to a few episodes.
Ask him the big questions, mate.
I will.
Figure
out
what's going on.
He's going to cop it if Collingwood win, I tell you. And I don't usually give it to too many people.
I want to see the back and forth messages up on the social medias.
So I don't reckon he'll respond to me.
So the fans can read
it. He won't respond.
Just your text then. Just you berating him.
Just machine gun him.
All right, we're going to move on to what I'm pretty excited for. I asked you guys to prepare your favourite players, one day 11 and test 11. Doesn't have to be the best, just your favourite 11. So, did you manage to get your 11s together?
I spent a long period of time.
Yep.
Maybe 20, 25 minutes deliberating over this. I gave it some thought because, you know, this has got to have structure.
Yeah.
So I decided that the two 11s that I'm going to pick, no player can appear on both sides.
I've done that as well.
Yeah. Also allows me to get as many of my favourite cricketers in as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not, Matthew, but I'm here. I'm definitely going to play special comments on both
okay,
of these.
Okay, I like it.
I did not pick up on the text early enough.
That's okay.
And, my apologies.
What I want you to remember, Tom, is that it's not the best 11, it's our favourite players 11. So every time you hear Stephen tell me to kill myself, it's because he's not a fan of what I've selected.
But we'll talk it through, mate. We'll ask the hard questions of why they're there.
I'd like to go on the record now by telling you that I haven't seen your teams, but they're a disgrace, and you should really have a look in the mirror and think about what you've done.
Hand their baggy greens back.
Oh, also, another side note,
yep.
When I've picked the team, they actually have to have played in that field.
Yes.
I'm just trying to think back through my team.
What I've done is I've gone, as long as I've played limited overs cricket for Australia, even if it's in the T20, I've picked them in my one day. So.
Okay, that's fair. They've represented Australia.
They've represented.
Yep.
But you can't pick a...
I can't go and pick, say...
Bryce Street in the Test
11. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, which I'm sure you've tried. No. In your mind, you're thinking, like, how do I get him in here? There's a technicality. Where's the loophole?
Did he play under 19s?
He saw a baggy green once. He's got to play.
How do we want to do this? Do we want to do maybe one for one, or do we want to do just a full 11, or...?
Well, I feel like the man to my right's going to want to do some real heavy scrutiny.
Yeah,
one to one, I reckon. What if
I was to read you like my top three?
Okay.
Top order, middle order, and keeper bowlers. What about that?
Yeah, that's fine.
So we start with the Test 11.
Do you want to start with Test or one day?
We start with One Day.
Okay. All right, One Day.
Here we go.
Do you want me to go?
You go.
I'd like to say that my team is a bit light on in the batting, but I would absolutely rate us to defend anything.
Okay.
And do we ask like the listeners of the podcast to leave what they think in the
I'll put it up there on the Instagram and the Facebook.
Yeah, look,
let us know what your banter is, listeners.
Yeah. I expect some backlash.
Yeah.
That's why I thought I'd ask, because I think there will be some backlash.
I'm excited. I've been waiting for this.
So recently I've been looking through my Facebook memories.
Yep.
And that prompted a lot of things from about 2013-14 when Matt Wade was keeping.
Oh,
I was statusing a lot about where was Tim Payne and why is Tim Payne not back.
Yep.
So in that vein, my One Day side, Tim Payne's opening the batting.
Ooh.
As wicketkeeper, and he's opening the batting with Shane Watson.
Oh, my God.
That's hot.
This is a talking point in itself.
And the winner of many World Cups for Australia as captain, Ricky Ponting, is at three, and he is captain.
Not in the test squad. Interesting. Okay. I'm going to give you
controversial,
my top three. Opening the batting and taking the gloves. Ben Dunk.
Oh, fuck, man.
At number two, everyone's favourite Australian cricketer, Cameron White.
Ooh.
At number three, and captaining the side, George Bailey.
Ooh, I like that. I like George. If you don't like George Bailey, you're a shit bloke.
Yeah.
See, or you're Jimmy Anderson.
I want to use the floppies as well. So Ben Dunk obviously wears a floppy. Bailey wears a floppy.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, so you've picked them for their cricket or their fashion sense?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. Both.
So Ben Dunk obviously hasn't got in on talent.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, so he's got the gloves. Does that mean he's not going to be ripping the occasional
off-break? I'm not going to lie. I was looking for another keeper so I could utilise it with the ball. But I had to be strong
and not do it.
What are your thoughts on the top three of both?
If I'm bowling to your opening partnership,
yeah,
I'm thinking, fuck, we're giving Cameron White a single so we can get into this fucking batting team. Because Ben Dunk's going to hang around for four-fifths of fuck all time.
Nice.
My biggest question is, especially because we're not having both players in both teams, is how could you pick Ricky Ponting in the One Day squad above the Test squad?
I thought about
one of Australia's best ever Test batsmen.
He captained so many World Cup wins for us.
True.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having a lot of Ashes wins.
Yeah, true. He also lost our first Ashes series in over 2 decades.
He did.
It was a great series.
Him or Michael Kasperovich, man.
Oh, the hand was off the bat.
Was it even out?
The hand was off the bat.
Are we going to go to 4-5-6? Or are we going 4-5-6-7?
Well, Matty, Shane Watson, mate.
I didn't go Watson.
I know, but what's he doing in Steve's side?
I don't mind it.
I mean,
I think
he's going to burn your first review in the first over. Like, you just know that. He's going to get one on the toe, think it's going down leg, and then get one review one that's hidden halfway up the middle.
Well, the thing I'll say about Watson is I feel like we gave him a lot of shit when he was playing, but now he's gone. I feel like he's a bit under pressure because, like, fuck, we don't have any all-rounders anymore.
Heavily underappreciated. You remember when we were absolutely dog shit for a couple of years and we were like, fuck, I'd really like a 30 or a 40 from Shane Watson to get us score up to about 150.
Yeah.
I miss Shane Watson. The other thing about Shane Watson, I rate a bloke who's got absolute confidence in the fact that it's never hitting the pegs, but we all know it's hitting the pegs. That sort of confidence carries you to a win when he's not out.
Zero awareness.
He also had a knack of getting a wicket when we needed one.
Golden
arm. Like, how can you review that if you know where all your stumps are? Like, if you take guard,
it's just not good cool.
If you grind out both middle and leg stumps, so you know where you're standing, and then it hits you. And then you walk down the other end, and you're like, mate, what does that look like?
That one's still a bit.
The non-striker tells you you're clearly out.
Oh, we've got two, boys.
Was it in his contract that he got one every game?
Maybe. I remember there was a point where he was trying to change his technique so his bat would, like, in front of the pad.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Yeah.
If you look at him statistically, though,
yeah,
I think opening in One Day cricket was where he was strongest.
Mm. And he broke down a lot, too, when he was younger. Yeah. Like, yeah. He didn't get a good chance of it.
And toward the back end of his career as well now, like, even he's probably not great now, but the opening, the batting, and the short forms, he's a big, strong boy.
Well, even when he was playing the 2020s after he retired, man.
He's still playing IPL.
Yeah, he's playing for the Super Kings.
Oh,
not
really?
Not doing great. He's 39. You know, fair.
But like a few seasons ago, he was still, like, he did, didn't he hit 100 in the BBL?
Yeah, probably.
After he retired.
For the Thunder?
Yeah.
Shall we jump into 4-5-6-7?
Who was your other opener?
Tim Payne.
That's a shocking call. Anyway, move on.
Tim Payne is an absolute gentleman.
Of all the players.
A true Australian.
So he's carrying the oranges out, is he?
He's a true Australian. Plus, when was the last time you saw a bloke just put a little bit of colour, a bit of tips through the hair and manage to rock it? 2009 or 2010, Tim Payne.
I remember that.
Thank you.
Are you going to go first?
4, 5, 6?
Yeah, sure.
This is controversial because in an ideal world, I would have opened the batting with him, but I sort of thought Tim Payne needs to be at 1 or at 7, and I thought I'd elongate the batting lineup this way. So at 4 is Mark Waugh.
Ooh, okay. He's, I don't mind that.
One of the most beautiful batsmen you've ever seen.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
At 5, probably our best one-day batsman, in my opinion, in the history of our decorated career, Michael Bevan.
Yep.
And then at number 6, the absolute freak of a man who could do anything he tried except rock up to training, Andrew Simons.
Ooh. As you know, I'm a little bit younger than you, so obviously I know that Waugh and Bevan are superstars, but are they in there?
There was a lot of talk back in the day that it would be good to hear your opinion on this, Steve. Michael Bevan, very selfish cricketer, always playing for the average, mate.
Oh,
I could say that.
It wasn't a Glenn Maxwell where he'd try and score the runs quickly and may risk his own wicket.
Well, I mean, Bevo was occasionally his best innings when he came in for, you know, 3 for fuck all, and we had to, you know, chase down a score, and he just get on my back, boys.
Yeah, again, like what Matty said, I didn't get to see a lot of Bevo because I wasn't watching much cricket back in the early days.
Yeah, look,
but
different types of cricket as well. Like you go back to the mid 90s and what Bevan was doing. Like, as much as I love him, he probably wouldn't get a gig today because he's just not that accelerated enough. But the one-day format's changed so much in that time.
Yeah, like back in the day when, you know, 220 was a good score.
Yeah, like
whereas now 220, they're like, well, they're never going to be able to defend that.
Yeah, like if Glenn Maxwell was playing in the early 90s, they'd be like, well, this bloke's a fucking wizard, or he's a fucking like, we need to put this bloke to a fucking stake and burn him because he's doing crazy shit.
Fucking hell. But okay. Andrew Simons, great pick, I think, on and off the field.
Yeah.
Like, imagine being with Simo in, like, the subcontinent, just, you know, boys, you know, I know we've got training at 9 a.m. tomorrow, but, you know,
let's
these
get
four
on
exes aren't going to string themselves.
I managed to find this little dinghy we can take out.
Yeah. Apparently there's a few fish in the river behind the hotel.
I wouldn't eat them, but let's catch them.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And he's... his fielding as well, like his batting, is top level. But his like Mark Waugh, and you've picked two of the probably the best on field, offside fielders, like your point and cover there. Mm. I mean, how are you getting a ball past those two?
Yeah, and Mark Waugh in the slips as well. Like not even just his like inner like circle fielding, but Mark Waugh in the slips. Maybe Mark Taylor or Shane Warne would be pressing him, but otherwise like. Well, maybe Ricky Ponting as well. He could field it anywhere, but elite level catching.
I saw a video just the other day on Facebook of Mark Waugh and the slips, and it was that one, the one day off Flemo where the ball came, he lost in the sun, so he just turned around and wore it on the back, so it was really warm to catch
it. team man.
Yeah, just like, he was like, instead of trying to see where it was, he just turned around, hit him in the back, and Warne caught it because it popped up in the air.
Nice.
It's like, Jesus Christ, the ball gone 130 or so, just wearing it in the back.
Jesus.
Michael Bevan, very good fielder as well. Not a strong arm, but absolute whip it in the field and between the wickets.
Nice. One thing I very much appreciate of Andrew Simons, I like that he used to mix up between off spin and medium pace.
Mm.
Yes.
Just whatever the situation was.
With the dreads as well.
Yeah.
Really just, you know, get around me, boys. I'll take care of what needs to be done.
And then scoring his first 100 with Matthew Hayden.
That was pretty good.
That was
after they were, what? They were 3 for nothing, weren't they?
Yeah. Scoring a 100 with your best mate, like especially your first one, far out. Like.
It's a big bump 6 too, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
Crushed it.
Mm.
And then crushed Matthew Hayden's bloody skull when he jumped on his head.
Yeah.
I'll jump into my 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
Let's go on this journey.
At number 4, I've got David Hussey.
All right.
Interesting.
Number 5, I've got Andrew Simons.
Yeah.
Number 6, I've got Adam Voges.
Ooh.
Okay.
Hank.
Mm.
Yeah, one thing about David Hussey's batting that I always rated, his ability to go inside out and over cover.
Yeah.
I always appreciated that about him. Unfortunately, you know, lived in the shadows of Mike.
Yeah.
He's nicknamed Bomb, brother of Mike.
And you can give you a few off-spinning overs if you need some in the middle.
Those are some very nude nuts, those off-spin deliveries. Calling it spin is complimentary.
Just look at the options I've got. I've got White, Hussey, Simons and Voges. I don't even need bowlers.
Simo's the biggest turner of them all, and that's when he's bowling his mediums.
And imagine we just go Dunkey, Whitey will take the gloves now. Can you come on for some off-spin?
Jesus Christ, you got 40 overs just from your
I'm not even doing my bowls. I reckon I've named too many bowls.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I've gone a bit light with the batting, I thought, because then things start to really get freaky.
Okay, well, do you want to jump into your 7, 8, 9?
At number 7...
A very important spot in the lineup.
Yeah.
The freak himself, Ian Harvey.
Ooh.
This man had more slower balls than you've had hot dinners, Matthew.
Yeah, okay.
And just and could hold a stick as well. So in that batting lineup, having him at 7, because otherwise Tim Payne would have had to have been at 6. You know what I mean? So,
look, I'm going
to
be honest. I didn't see much of Ian Harvey, but playing things like Shane Warne 99 or Cricket 04, I just used to play him because he just got all these slower balls and shit.
So much variety. So he's basically like a food court. There's just you pick what you want. Something's there for everyone.
It's a buffet of cricket.
At 8, Brett Lee.
Nice.
Yeah, I think he was our highest one-day wicket taker.
Really?
And those toe crushers, like Dale Steyn said, the big in-swinging Yorkers. Yeah, elite.
Nice.
Because I couldn't fit him into my other side, but I really, really like him.
Yep.
Nathan Lyon.
Ooh, interesting.
He did start out his career playing Big Bash for South Australia. Not a lot of people remember that. He also used to have tips running through the hair. When he had hair.
That's a theme in your team. I'm pretty sure Shane Watson had tips.
Are we going to see Colin Miller very shortly?
No room for Colin. I also have, I'm jumping ahead of myself, I've got 3 honourable mentions as well, but I'll get to them. at 9, I think we can both universally agree that Nathan Bracken should be in any one-day squad for Australia.
100%.
Andy G.
That is a great call.
That was 10. And number 11, Sean Tate.
Sean Tate?
Sean Tate. You imagine an opening combination, Brett Lee, Sean Tate, or even one follows the other, and you got Nathan Bracken just toiling away at the other end.
So do you want to read out that full 11 now that we've gone through it?
Full 11. Payne, Watson, Ponting, Mark Waugh, Michael Bevan, Andrew Simons, Ian Harvey, Brett Lee, Nathan Lyon, Nathan Bracken, Sean Tate. 12th man?
Yep.
George Bailey.
Oh, okay.
That's for the floppy hats.
Yeah, of course. Should I go off the rest of mine now?
Please.
All right. At number 7, the finisher, James Faulkner. He had to be in there, didn't he?
I guess we're talking about cricketers from a bygone era, aren't we? So we might as well have him in as well.
And so, you know, he's a bit of an all-rounder. And then my number 8, also a little bit of an all-rounder, can hit a clean ball. Gone with Johnny Hastings.
Oh, the Duke!
Jesus
number 9, you're not going to like this, Nathan Horrocks.
Come on, mate. Out of you all still the haven't spinners picked, you could have picked.
You still haven't picked a spinner.
Yeah, Horrocks. Horrocks is turns and square, brother. And my number 10 and 11, I think this guy was very, very good in one-day cricket and was underrated, Clint Mackay.
Meeting Spuds Mackay. He's a guy. Yeah, one-day cricketer of the year.
Number 11. Nathan Bracken. And 12th man, I've gone with James Hopes.
The catfish, James Hopes. Well, ooh. He was a trier. He was a genuine trier.
He was.
And they threw him around that batting order as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knew how to hold a stick.
Bit of everything.
Okay.
I'd say he did a great deal of cricket in, but the games he did get, he tried.
Yeah, and that generation, or those years.
Yeah.
Hard-pressed getting into that. Yeah. I'll tell you what, Matthew. Mm. Your team got a lot better as you went on, in my personal opinion.
Yeah. I thought you'd be harsher.
Yeah, look, having Ben Duncan...
Look, I haven't heard my test side yet, so...
Oh, God.
Should we jump straight in?
Could I give you my honourable mentions for the one-day side?
Of course.
The bowlologist, Damien Fleming.
Ooh.
You remember the 99... World Cup semi-final, bowled to Lance Klusner, absolutely pumped for 2 or 3 fours, I think.
Yeah,
managed to hold his nerve to get us the tie, and we went through.
Yeah,
elite. Cameron White, the Big Bear.
Yes.
Yep, rated him. And because I couldn't get him into my test side, but I really rated his fast hands, Ian Healy.
Nice. Couple of honourable mentions I had. I had Damien Martin.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I also...
Tasty.
...had Callum Ferguson.
Fuck. We'll all remember his one test.
He played a few one days.
Yeah. One thing about him is you could always... He always got better with each level that he went up to.
Yeah. He was doing okay in the one days. Then I remember he had a bad injury.
He did his knee. And he was gone for a year and then just never came back.
Yeah.
Tough times.
All right. Do you want to start off the test?
Yeah, all right. Yeah. So top three.
Yep.
And I think, well, maybe they will be similar. Maybe they won't.
Mm, I don't think they will.
No.
It's tough to see who's at three now with Ricky Ponting in the one day.
Oh, that's
spot.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Smith?
So
he said he's got no current players.
Oh, okay.
No, I said one. One. So statistically.
You already said Nathan Lyon.
Well, that was the one day too.
Oh, okay.
Statistically, Australia's best opening partnership, Hayden Langer.
Yeah. Okay.
Speaks for itself.
Gotta be.
Plus, you know, just watching those two, like... One of
his reaction, he did not pick those two.
I'm picking favourite players.
Yeah, but to watch those two go out there and bromance.
They were brilliant. I agree.
Beautiful. And then, you know, little Langer with fucking 6'3", Matty Hayden, making him look even taller because he was not very
Matty
tall.
Matty Hayden standing like 3 feet outside of his crease to people like Shah Bakhtar.
And then just belting them everywhere.
And then advancing down the wicket from there.
Yeah. What I liked about Matthew Hayden is, he would absolutely give you a mouthful, tell you how fucking rubbish you were, really in force. But then at the crease, he'd scratch a cross in because he was very heavily religious.
Really?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, really, really solid religion there. At three, Steve Smith.
Okay, nice.
I've tried not to stay current, sort of gone like maybe the last 20 years.
All right. You're going to
25.
You go on.
Isn't his best block number four, then?
Yes, but when you get to the rest of my side, you'll understand why he's at three. Steve Smith's a freak; he can bat anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, I think you'll accept one of my openers. One of them you're really just gonna go what? All right. Number one, Chris Rogers.
I rate that. Yeah. That's elite.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
You're not gonna rate the next one
because he came in. He had to like live in the shadow of.
Yeah.
Because he came in after Hayden and Langer left. He was like the next big opener.
Had to move to Victoria, the poor bloke.
Yeah.
He came in after the next man that I'm about to list off, Ed Cowan.
Oh, yuck. Yuck.
Imagine the run rate with those two players.
Ed Cowan he was a gritty player.
It's like, so we've batted for 40 overs and we're on about 10 runs, boys. We're just ticking them over.
Australia.
Getting the shine off the ball.
Australia, none for 150 at stumps on day two.
Yeah, exactly right.
Really batting themselves into a strong position.
They're batting the shine off the ball, but so slow the new ball comes around before they have got into their full stride.
Yeah, the opposition's bowlers have actually died of heat stroke.
Number three, I've gone Ricky Ponting.
Yeah, elite.
Have to.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if there was to be crossover, obviously Ricky Ponting belongs in any team, anywhere, anytime. World 11, best 11.
With bat and ball.
Yeah.
Well, he has got the prized wicket of Brian Charles Lara. Yeah. So, obviously elite.
Nice. Do you want to jump into 4, 5, 6?
Yeah, I do. And I was really happy that you previously mentioned my number four, Damien Martin.
Oh.
One of the best cover drivers of a ball you'll ever see.
I found it real strange that Damien Martin retired after the second Ashes test in 06. Was it the second Ashes test he retired after?
Yeah,
third.
Adelaide, I think.
Oh, it was Adelaide. It was the second. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, what happened there? Did he get injured? Because I was only probably in my teens. And
it was real sudden.
Did he get injured?
He was still going. I think he lost the love a little bit. Became a bit much.
Yeah.
He lives on the Gold Coast now, I think.
I know.
Bit of a laid-back unit, I think.
Yeah.
Enjoys his
pretty full
downtime.
But that gave, was it Michael Clarke that got the...
Nah, Simons came in.
Oh, that's
Simons
right.
came in after
was
that.
Was Clarke already in? Because Watson was injured.
Clarke played 04, I think, right, 03, 04 in India where he made his debut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they had a punch on, that's why he had to leave.
Not Marto, he's a good bloke.
Yeah, so is Simon Caddish, mate.
Well, a common denominator here is that Michael Clarke's a good bloke.
Continue.
At five... Steve Waugh.
Nice.
Yeah, good pick.
Yeah, absolute.
Interesting
pick. Not apparently very well liked these days.
Yeah, Warnie and him don't get on, eh?
Yeah. And I'm not sure, because Warnie, like, is there? There's probably not too many big egos walking around.
Well, that's, I was just about to say that, is like, Steve Waugh, I feel, did very well to keep Warnie's ego in check when he was playing, because a lesser of a captain, I feel, Warnie may have gone way off the rails and then not achieved what he did, because, like, you saw the early 2000s when he's doing his thing in England, old Warnie. And if he didn't have good guidance, which may have seemed harsh at the time, like, he could have fucking really bombed out before he got great.
I see that. I see that. The other thing with Steve Waugh is, if what people are saying is, you know, he's this big ego, very interested in himself, I've heard that from a couple of different places. Maybe he's just trying to put Shane Warne in his place, because you remember he dropped him when he's coming back from shoulder injury in the Windies. He dropped him. And then ever since that was the fracture.
Yeah.
He's like, I know you're good, but I'm the big dog here. I'm captain. You're in your place.
Yeah, but you got to think too, is like, it's not like he was a captain that, like, wasn't himself on such a huge mountain. Like, Steve was, like, one of our best batsmen, so him himself may have also had
quite a bigger ego.
Yeah. He was just, you know, doing the old, like, let's see whose dick's bigger. Like, so, if you've got, I mean, I don't know who's to come, but have you captain either Ponting or Steve Waugh, or is captain still to come?
Captain's still to come.
Still to come. Jeez, there's going to be a lot of egos flying around this team.
big egos. Steve Waugh's at 5. Then at 6, the great man, Michael Hussey.
Okay, yeah, nice.
Mr. Gregor played golf with him.
Yeah. Did you?
Well, I was the team behind him, and the play was there. The play was so slow, we got to chat every hole.
They're basically best mates now. Yeah.
Cool.
A lot taller than you'd think he was if you'd never met him before. Yeah. Like, he's a tall man. Yeah.
When you stand around fast bowlers all the time.
That's what I mean, yeah, when you're playing in short leg. But, yeah, good mention.
Number 4, this guy usually opens a batting. We've mentioned him already. Simon Cattich.
Oh.
I've gone with.
I rate him to be elite enough to bat in anywhere in the 6. Yeah. You remember when he came in, actually? I think it was 2001 he debuted. He actually batted and started at 6.
Yeah,
I don't remember that, but I'm pretty sure he played one or two games of that 05 Ashes middle order.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. The first couple.
Because obviously he wasn't going to dislodge Hayden or Langer, was he?
Mm.
Number 5, I've got Mike Hussey. Yeah.
Elite.
Number 6, I've had to go an all-rounder, Shane Watson.
Yeah, I thought about having Watto in my test team.
Yeah.
But then thinking about where did Shane Watson play his best cricket, for me it wasn't in the test team, it was in the one-day team. Mm. And also, if he was in my test team, his best position was opening.
Yeah, he made his most runs opening the batting, no matter where he was.
But I've also just thrown blokes into my team to make it fit as well, so I appreciate that you had him in there.
Yeah. Okay. Off you go, 7, 8, 9.
Hard to go past. I mean, if he's not yours, I'll be very surprised. The great man, Adam Craig Gilchrist.
Nice.
Oh no!
From that reaction, I'm saying no.
the captain of this 11, Shane Warne. Shane Warne is a captain, because you remember what he did with Rajasthan in 2008.
Yeah.
Yeah. You imagine what that man would have done if he'd led our test side.
Yeah.
Imagine how many sex tapes there'd be out there.
Too many.
Unbelievable.
Too many.
Far and away the best spin bowler to ever play the game.
And you're number 9?
For Australia or out of everyone?
I'd say out of everyone.
100%.
Okay.
And I purely base that off of Brian Lara, saying that he played a lot against Murali and Shane.
Yeah.
And he had greater difficulty with Murali early. But he said, if I wear Murali down, I know I will beat him. But with Shane, the longer he comes at me, the more confidence he gets, and the more I have to be on my game.
Well, yeah, Shane, like, played people into his game. Like, he didn't try to get them out to start with. He was like, he knew how he was going to get each player out in his head. Mm. I think we saw that too in, like, the Adelaide test in the Ashes, where
Amazing Adelaide?
Yeah, where he knew how he could get every single player out. And he was like, boys, bandwagon's on the back of me, just jump in.
Got 10 seats, boys, who wants?
I'll take you to victory.
Yeah.
And you can even see it now with the commentary. Like, some of the plebs he has to commentate with, he carries, because he has so much knowledge of the game. And, like, I reckon if they had a camera, like, on the commentators, in like the top corner of the screen, it would be entertaining too of him just like rolling his eyes in the back of his head when someone
speaks. Yeah, I
just
can like,
what are you guys even talking about?
It's that sort of tactical nous is the reason he's captain.
Yeah, nice.
Do you think he'd bat himself up the order though? He'd just go rogue and all of a sudden be batting four or five.
What's that? Probably not that high. But I think he's got the most test runs for a bloke without 100. Yeah, I think that's a stats. Correct. Yeah,
I remember could hold
just nudge it into the leg side, Shane.
It was a no ball.
I know.
I remember that game. We were driving, my family and us were driving back from Perth down up to Geraldton, and it was on the radio. And I remember us listening to it and all getting so amped up, thinking he's going to score it, and then just the silence of the car for the next 10 minutes as we're driving when he got out. Everyone's just like,
just imagine your dad turning the radio off.
Just click.
There'll be no Christmas this year, kids.
You kids better get out now.
the fast bowling brigade.
Yeah.
I should also mention, I've gone with blokes that I saw play.
Yeah.
Because blokes like Dennis Lilly, like legend. Blokes like Alan Border as well with the batting. Like, if we were talking all-time best, probably be different. But just because this is favourites.
Yeah.
That 2013-14 Ashes series where Mitchell Johnson put 11 blokes into therapy.
I see.
Yeah. Oh, that was some of the... And to do it with a moustache as well. Very aesthetically pleasing.
Nice.
Ryan Harris.
Nice.
Bloke who had one good knee, maybe.
Yeah.
And if you were a skipper, you say to him, run through that wall for me and then get those other 11 blokes out, and he'd do it for you with a smile on his face. Absolute legend. Shame he didn't play more.
And that cracking ball that he bowled to Alistair Cook that gets replayed like every summer here in Australia is just one of the most delightful balls you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Getting through the gate, just off a nice crack, this first ball.
Absolute beauty.
The slow-mo of the bales coming off is just mouth-watering.
At number 11,
yeah,
probably no surprise. The reason that I, as a nine-year-old, managed to find my way down to the Kenwick under-10s, wanted to play cricket,
yeah,
just to emulate the great man, Glenn McGrath.
Oh, Peter Siddle, not a joke. Nah, good call. Uh-huh. So I'll do mine, then we'll go to our 12th man honourable mentions.
Please. There's one person that I thought you may have had in your... in your bowling cartel, because he sort of his way he went about his business on the field sort of reminds me of yours, is Jason Gillespie.
Look, we'll get to him in a little bit.
He must be in that honourable mentions list, because I was like, surely he's either 10 or 11.
It's hard to go past the great man, isn't it? Look, he's definitely an honourable mention.
So at 7, as much as I love Gilly, because Gilly's a superstar, I like the nicheness of this fella, so I've gone Brad Haddon with the gloves. I like Brad Haddon.
He probably was around a lot when you started watching cricket, too. Yeah.
Are you telling me...
Yeah.
He wasn't in your one-day side, because you had Ben Dunk with the gloves.
That's correct.
So you're telling me, of all the cricket you've ever seen in your life...
Yeah.
All the access to all the YouTube and KO and all everything you have in the world...
I love him. I just like to be a bit no more
room.
Niche.
There's no room. Even... You're a fucking idiot, mate. What are you doing?
Maddie.
Going to number 8, and I thought...
It's your opinion, but you're wrong.
Going to number 8, and I thought I'd be the only one with this, but you stole the words right out of my mouth. I got Shane Warne as captain as well for the same reason.
That's elite. Welcome back, brother. You turn your fucking brain on.
Yeah.
You've gone from one extreme to the other.
Number 9.
But why don't you rate Gilchrist?
Oh, I do rate him.
I feel we breezed over this way.
Yeah, you got out of
it. So we're not including probably the best wicketkeeper to ever play the game.
You may have revolutionised Test cricket, but let's go with Brad Haddon.
He slam 150 balls at the Wacker, one of the hardest pitches to play on in the world.
If I'm picking the best side, Gilchrist is an obvious selection. And he's a good bloke, and I love Gilchrist. Haddon's just, I don't know, just... fun.
One thing I will give Brad Haddon.
Yeah,
he was a little dog. He always just wanted to have a scrap.
Yeah,
and he wasn't scared to walk up to big blokes like Chris Gayle and absolutely bust his neck looking up at him to chirp him. I rate that. Yeah, he was always ready to have a crack.
I mean, we didn't have the technology back in the day of like all the stump mics and stuff from when Gilly was a bit younger and probably a little bit more dogging, but like I reckon he must have had some good banter.
There is a little bit.
He was a real gentleman once he knew the microphones were there, but I reckon he would have had a few pearlers.
There was one, they were playing a test series in India. I think it was Muhammad Kaif.
Yeah.
Edgewan was caught, didn't walk, and then it went up on the big screen and just was like glaringly obviously out, and everyone's just like, oh, you fucking hack, you know, like walk. And then Gilly says, oh, you just watch me, mate, I'll show you how to walk, you know, like, you just watch me, champ. He champed him. I write that. Really tell that bloke, you're not playing for India ever fucking again. You're useless.
So anyway, Brad Haddon.
Brad Haddon, yeah.
Then I've got Warnius the skip.
Is he bowling, though, with all the... Oh, no, there was all the bowlers in your one day squad. Yeah.
Warnie's bowling in front of everyone.
He's opening the bowling.
Oh, 100%. Number 9, you had him as well, Ryan Harris.
Yeah, elite.
Number 10, probably the greatest hat-trick of all time, Peter Siddle.
On his birthday.
Strange that you're laughing.
I didn't know we were picking the vegetarian 11.
He's vegan.
And at 11, I like this guy. It's much like Siddle and Harris because he's a trier. He bustles in. Doug the rug.
Doug the rug. All right.
Was it Hilfenhaus that I was talking to you before?
Yeah.
He's my sort of Peter Siddle, I reckon, too.
Like, yeah.
He got in a lot. He was always a second fiddle, but he always like, hey, mate, we just want you to bowl like 10, 12 overs straight from one end. Is that cool?
He's in my honourable mention. Oh, he's Benny in Hill.
Okay.
My 12th man.
Yep.
And look, given maybe that I'm slightly older than you, this might go over your head, but it would be an absolute crime to not pick Andy Bickle as 12th man, given the amount of times he was 12th man.
Yep.
Also, ultimate team bloke.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
He ran the water a lot in the one days too.
He did.
Yeah. My 12th man, I have two names there because I couldn't decide. So I've got Ben Hilfenhaus there. I've also got Marcus North.
Oh, okay. That is niche. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did rate his straight breaks that he bowled.
In terms of who else missed out here? Oh, the other one that I had that missed out that wasn't a 12th man was actually Jason Gillespie.
Oh, yeah. Our honourable mention, Jason Gillespie.
Yeah.
Definitely, he's got a higher score than like Mark Waugh and stuff.
Mm.
Like, the two, I mean, it might have been again. I still remember in the commentary when they said to Mark Waugh, like, his highest score is higher than yours. And he's like, yeah, but I never played Bangladesh.
I was looking through the test players today, and I was like looking at these names like, how the fuck did that bloke play a test match?
Dan
like
Cullen?
Like Peter George?
2 metre Peter.
I was like, what the fuck?
We actually haven't had a laugh about that before you came and picked us up. If we could like name an 11 of like the 11 blokes that like, played. Oh, what the hell did you, how did you get a bag of green 11? Or like played between 1 and 5 tests and like nobody has ever heard of them again.
Matthew Nicholson.
I saw definitely had one day when I was looking through. I'm not sure if he played a test. Ashley Nofke.
Oh, he did play. He never played a test, but he played a few one days.
Yeah.
Shane Harwood.
Oh, yeah. That's worse. So what I'm going to do now, I want you to send me that both 11s.
With the honourable mentions?
Sure, if you want to. What I'm going to do is I'm going to make both these teams on the PlayStation 4, and we're going to get on the socials and we're getting to verse each other. So we won't have to play it. We can watch them verse each other.
Gee whiz, my side is absolutely going to pump yours.
You dream.
Especially the one day one.
Look, you can put bets on it. You can say what you want, but my side has the leadership that it requires.
Is it like, how do you get it to... Are you guys going to actually play?
No, so we'll put the 11s in. They'll be... Because the players already have their attributes.
Stats, yeah.
And you put them in and the computer, it'll play each other in a one-day match and then we'll do a test match and we'll see how it all unfolds.
Wowee.
My honourable...
Let's put those scores up on the...
on the socials. On the
That's
socials.
Going up. I reckon some vision will be going up.
Honourable mentions, Chris Rogers, Jason Gillespie.
Yep.
Also, because I couldn't really decide, Stuart McGill.
Oh, nice.
Big spinner of the ball. Really, really rated that.
If Warnie wasn't around when he was around.
Wrong era.
Yeah. Also really liked how angry Stuart McGill got.
Yeah.
He was a real hothead.
Yeah. There was a few tests that both of them played in the same team.
Mm.
Like, they were coming in from, like, the opposite ends.
Yeah. SCG a lot.
Yeah.
And Pat Cummins. I tried to stay away from current players.
Dog millionaire.
Yeah, look, he's elite.
Yeah.
He'll be up there with some of our best bowlers, I think.
Random question. You've listened to the podcast before. The fact that Hayden Arducci-Gooch reckons that Pat Cummins not in the one day team.
What in the current one day
yeah.
team?
I know I've said some stupid things. But
Hayden,
come on.
Hayden, when you're listening to this, please know that I hold you in the utmost respect, but you're a fucking flog, mate. You're an absolute idiot if you think that. You're a joke.
I'm going to ask you to do one thing right now, Hayden. Turn your fucking brain on. Turn it on.
Bloke goes 3 million in the IPL. Nah, can't play white ball cricket. Yeah, you're right, Gooch. Yeah.
And as well, he can get the ball. Like, he gets so much movement off the old ball.
And he can bat a bit.
Yeah. Like, and he's got such a small ego that he's like, yeah, I don't mind not opening the bowling.
Yeah,
like, I'll come in after Stark.
I'll do my bit.
Yeah, like, I'm a team player, which is like what you want out of someone that's like you said, high esteem $3 million player.
He's been so good up to this point. Imagine if he wasn't in for those 4 years.
I think that's added to his his bite though.
Yeah,
like
probably.
He's come out of that injury now saying I missed three or four seasons, so now I'm gonna make the very most of. I mean, it'll be a telling story once his career ends, and if he doesn't get up there into the top wicket takers for Australia, we could probably look back and say, geez, what happens if he played those four seasons? But man, I think he's going to get he's already taken over 100 wickets, hasn't he?
Yeah,
easily over 100 wickets. So
wasn't there a patch where he was actually with the Scorchers, didn't play though?
Yeah, he was injured through. Yeah, that's upsetting. Still a better pick than Sajid Mahmood though.
And for the Chris Scorchers. Jordan. Yeah. I'd take Brosnan over Chris Jordan if I was a Scorchers fan.
Oh fuck. I don't know about that.
I don't rate Chris Jordan at all. Sorry.
I reckon Chris Jordan and Tim Bresnan both are meat and spuds.
Yeah.
But with Chris Jordan, you get a little bit of seasoning.
I feel like Bresnan's...
Yeah.
Bresnan's more of a goer, though. He'll really try, you know?
But we're not here about tries, mate. We're here for winners.
And Jordan is not that.
How's that bloke keep getting a kick?
I don't know. We're going to jump into the next seven, bit off the sport for a minute, because we're talking about this.
We're talking about salt and pepper.
Tim-O-Matic. Yeah, we're talking about Tim-O-Matic. No real reason, just every podcast I like to, whoever I've got in, talk a bit of Tim-O-Matic. I'm going to go between you first, Stephen, you first. Favourite Tim-O-Matic song and how you grew to love Tim-O-Matic as an artist?
It's been a long journey.
Yeah.
Since you brought him back into our lives, I think. It's refreshing to have him around. My favourite song, so long as he doesn't get done for copyright infringement, would be incredible.
Yeah.
I think it's an absolute banger.
Nice. I will say that me, Hayden and Sean, have both been on the podcast for, take credit that we think we repopularised Tim-O-Matic in Western Australia.
I'd get around that.
I think it's a truthful call.
I hope the AFL is listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
They need to
what did we say? It's only a couple of grand and a hotel room.
Yeah.
AFL are coming, surely they'll do it for less. You'd be like, Jesus, a grand final, yeah, all right.
Look, and you got to think too, COVID, freaking AFL's a bit money tight, big name star, not a lot of money.
Yeah.
Tim-O-Matic.
You can't tell me that the public's going to go off when he launches out the parachute.
Mate, he can't be any better, any worse, sorry, than freaking Meatloaf.
Terrible.
If the AFL is listening, they need to make sure that they don't let this opportunity go past.
Yeah, because it won't come around very often. Like, his dancing legs are going to age. And
that'll be it.
Yeah, that'll be it.
There's moments in your life when you have a deep, hard look at an issue, and if you don't seize the opportunity, then you just regret it for the rest of your life. Yeah. And Gil McLachlan, now's your time.
Yeah, Gil, come on, mate. Pick up the phone, Gil.
Now, Tom, what would be your favourite Tim-O-Matic song, personally?
Now, I mean, it's hard to pick a favourite song out of a list of so many good ones, mate.
Yeah.
Where do I start? In the fact that I can't probably name off the top of my head.
I like that. I like where you went with it.
Yeah. It is good, easy listening music.
Yeah.
But it is. I can't say that I'd be at the front of the line to buy one of his tickets.
Okay.
But
what if you were given a ticket?
I'd definitely go.
Yeah, I rate that.
And I like listening to him when someone else puts it on. It's just not a guy that I would put on myself. But, I mean, had some good songs. That Parachute song's good. What's the one that you said?
Incredible.
Incredible. But that's not even his song.
No, it is. It is his, but it definitely doesn't
sound
like...
It sounds a lot like a Bruno Mars song.
Amazing, is it? Just the way you are.
Oh, that's right.
It's definitely not a infringement on that song at all.
Yeah. But no, I probably got the Parachute's the one at the start of the film clip. It's in front of that jet, right?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. I'd go that one because I think I've seen that film clip quite a few times. So.
I've been waiting to show you this because obviously I interviewed Tim O'Matic. I can't remember if I've showed you or not. This is Tim O'Matic's Parachute with Tim O'Matic introing, if you want to have a listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is Tim O'Matic and you are listening to Boom Radio. Tim O'Matic.
Yeah, yeah.
It concerns me that his voice is very different to his singing voice, so I'm going to assume that he may...
Don't say it, Tom!
...heavily edit his voice.
Look, I saw him live, brother. He was brilliant. He was brilliant. He took his shirt off.
Is there a musical equivalent of Asada or Wada for musicians? Because they would have to seriously have to take a look.
I've heard Tim O'Matic in several interviews say that he was naturally not a good singer and had to have many, many lessons to get it to the point that it is.
I think he may need many more. because, Matty, I'll be honest, mate, if you just played that intro and said, who do you think introduced this song, I would not have picked
it.
It was a bit
crackly, the line. You know, you don't have headphones on. It could have just been your hearing, Tom. Maybe.
Okay. My hearing's not the best, but we'll blame it on my
clean
hearing.
The ears out, bud.
Yeah.
Now, let's jump straight into a bit of Kenwick cricket talk. The season's around the corner. Tom, you haven't been at pre-season yet, so I assume you're not far away.
Yeah, just a few niggles that I'm working on, mate, with the team physio. I think once we can sort them out and they give me a training load in which I can come back at, I'll be back down there, mate.
Yeah.
I'd say, given your chosen field, that it's probably something you could figure out.
Nice. Obviously, I think I've only played one game of cricket with you, Tom. I think I've only played one Kenwick game with you.
Surely not.
Just thinking off the top of my head, I'd have to do some research, but I think that day, the day we played together, you took a ripping catch off me, and I actually opened the batting with you. But
that's elite. Safety Bay?
Champion Lakes. And I'm pretty sure...
Did you play that... What's the ground that's at the school that has like the...
Perth Tamil.
Ranford.
Yeah, Canningvale Primary School or whatever.
No, the one that's down south.
Safety Bay.
Oh no, I wasn't there because I was captaining the lower side. So that week that I played A's and played a game with you, we had a bye, and we
that was
a few of us, me, Sean, Big Dazzery Orton.
I thought you did play another game with me down at Safety Bay.
I've never played at Safety Bay. I never heard Safety Bay.
Must not have been.
So
quality. Oh, no, it was friggin' Gooch.
So I'll never forget.
That's when he broke his hand.
I'll never forget the one game I got to play with Thomas Walden. Oh, two if we count the Swedish game he played.
We do.
Oh, yeah.
We do.
Yes. And I took a catch in the slips in that game, too.
I remember you dropped an absolute sitter before you could record that slips
catch.
No,
that was after the slips
game. Was it?
But yes, I did drop an absolute sitter. After just absolutely ringing that other bloke out for dropping a sitter.
Now, you're both pretty dangerous with ball in hand. Stephen... rumoured that you have a grand final hat trick. Some people reckon the hat trick ball wasn't out. I maintain it was out even though I wasn't there. Do you want to run us through it?
I believe there is vision of it.
Yes, there
is. And I believe that there is a scorebook that says it was out.
Do you think we could get that vision potentially sent off to maybe Cricket Australia Channel 7 so if we can get the hotspot maybe put into it to see if we can...
Bit of Snicko?
Yeah, Snicko.
I think we could. Maybe. I think we need to commission that. I think we need to first find out what it would cost for us to get it done.
Yeah.
We do have to remember, though, the vision was from, like, deep, fine left.
which is
not the best angle to see the wicket ball.
But given the quality of the delivery and it was a strangle down the leg side, maybe that was the best angle.
True.
Maybe.
True.
See, Channel 9 and Channel 7 aren't thinking about these angles. Maybe we were pioneers.
That would have the technology to zoom it in. Clean up the vision.
Break it down frame by frame.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I mean,
we'd see some spikes.
The guy that got out to that ball probably thinks that was the biggest robbery of the day. But I feel the bigger robbery of the day was Steve not then getting man of the match after two.
A match-winning hat-trick in a great...
Like they were cruising.
They
were cruising. They were going to absolutely like win with ease until those three wickets. And then it's like, oh, yeah, and man of the match is whoever got it.
Chatty.
Oh, well, yeah, that's right.
I think statistically he was the man of the match.
Yeah, but man...
Look,
he got the runs when it needed, but you turned the game, Stephen.
He scored the runs when the pressure wasn't on. Like, you guys batted first. You had ball in hand.
Oh, no, you batted second.
Yeah, we chased it down. So from my recollections, and we could go back to the scorebook, somewhere in the vicinity, I think, of about 3 for 90, they were off maybe 30 overs.
Which is a good position to be in.
Yeah.
In a 40-over game.
160.
And what did you end up chasing?
I think we kept them to about a .09 or .10.
So you turned the game.
You turned them from easily getting 150 to only getting 100.
Well, I remember the 30th over, I think they were about 3 for 90 or maybe 94. And I think after I bowled my over and Chatty bowled his over the next over, he got a pole. They went from 3 for 90-something to about 7 for 97 or something like that.
Stephen, I want you to say I turned that grand final single-handedly.
On its head.
I definitely feel like I earned my premiership medallion that day.
That was
probably one of the most special moments of my sporting life.
Yeah.
But even more elite on that day was the celebration and into the night and the next morning.
Some of that probably can't be mentioned on this podcast. But it was. We lost the grand final, but we were there.
Heartbreak.
And it was...
didn't even play in the grand final.
You were there.
I was there. I was probably I was running for MVP of the after party, I would say.
You were up there. I had you and Lewis saying some things to me. I was like, fair enough.
I can't mention the last memory I have of you on that night. You were sliding out of consciousness.
Yeah. I think I threw up all over the dude's back fence. I mean, his garden did look under-mulched, though. I feel I was doing him a favour.
I have a memory of you, Tom. I don't know if I should mention it, because...
Always mention it. There's no secrets here, mate. This is the room of truth.
It was like... We were at Thompson's, and usually after we go to Thompson's,
Is this the same night?
No.
Oh, different night. Okay.
We end up going to McDonald's or Hungry Jack's or something, usually after a Thompson's, and... It was like 1 in the morning, and you've called Stephen and just got in this rant for, I reckon, 45 minutes. I don't know if I should reveal what was said, but I was like, I was just sitting there going, fuck, all right.
When you're a single man and just a little bit out about on the town.
Yeah, something along those lines.
I can't remember it, but I can envision what I would have probably said.
I'd like to tell the story, and it's good that you have editing, but I won't go into it.
Okay.
Suffice to say, you were a scallywag.
Yeah. Where were we coming from?
You called Stephen. It was like one in the morning, and I was in the car driving.
Oh, so I didn't come to Thomas.
No, you didn't.
Oh, okay. Where did I come from?
You'd been out and about on the town.
We didn't see you. You just called to tell... A story.
And I was on the phone for 45 minutes.
Roughly, yeah.
Jesus Christ, I must have done something.
You were not sober.
Yeah. Now, before we get into the quiz, which we'll end with.
Yeah, mate.
I want you to run me through the day you bowled for Kenwick with your little off-spinners.
Yeah.
And we're on a hat-trick and how it all unfolded.
Oh, mate, it was a great day.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this one was down in Safety Bay too.
Nice.
Yeah. Team wasn't going so well.
Yeah.
If anyone's been to that Safety Bay oval, the long on boundary, I think it's with the breeze. It's probably only like 40 metres.
Yeah, okay.
To contain them, they brought me on from that end because they're like, if anyone can hold off that short boundary, it's Tom's little offies.
Yeah.
And, you know, the bloke was... he must have been moving. Like, I think his strike rate was probably over a couple of hundred.
Yeah.
And but I'd figured him out.
Yeah.
I spoke to the captain and I said, look, I see the chink.
Who was the captain that day? Who called upon you to come on?
Jeez, I can't even remember.
Was it Chatty?
Nah, because it was one day A's, I think. Because there was 2 day cricket going on.
Of course.
Oh, who would
have been? Might have been Spud.
Could have been Spud.
If you're listening, Spud, turn your fucking brain on.
But yeah, they brought me on.
Yep.
I think it was second ball.
Yep.
Breakthrough.
breakthrough. How'd you get him?
I think it was caught behind or even caught in slip. Nice. This is how confident they were, Matty. Very short boundary.
Yep.
Slips. with one slip. Maybe the person didn't want to field anywhere else. Maybe we didn't need him anywhere else. the first one was like a very regulation wicket.
Was there a run down the pitch with the arm in the air, or you just
turned to the captain and just gave him the nod. I told him, I painted him the picture at least 10 overs working into him giving me that over. Because as you would know, Matty, very underutilized with the ball, as we spoke about at the start of the podcast.
Yeah.
Second wicket, not as good. I just remember just still being on the high from the first wicket, and I've just put it in way too short. And I'm thinking, geez, this one's going. And the blokes just tickled it down the leg side straight into the wicketkeeper's glove.
Oh, you beauty!
Who was your keeper that day?
Jax?
I think it was the big, tall, bulky Shrinking dude.
Oh, Manu.
Oh,
Manu,
Graham Manu.
Could have been Manu, yeah.
Oh, nice.
So he's just one or two shuffles, and it's not like a small nick. He's lollipopped it off the thing, and the Cougars...
And at that point of view,
I was the tail was up, man. Yeah. You can imagine what I was doing. The third ball, which was the hat trick ball, was actually dropped too.
No.
Yeah.
Who was the culprit?
Oh, I'm pretty sure it was the person fielding it backward square. So we've got someone just behind the umpire, and I've again bowled a little bit too short, and I've just laced it around to straight into the bread basket, straight out of the bread basket.
Do we know who it was?
You don't remember who it was, do you?
What was the guy? I think it was the guy.
Find him.
Hunt him down.
Was it Gaia?
I think, what was the guy that his nickname used to be after the guy that was the ice skater?
Stephen Bradbury.
Yeah.
Harrison
McConnell.
Yeah, I think it was him. Oh, Aaron McDonald. No, Stephen Bradbury.
It's so un-Bradbury-like, too.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because really I remember...
That's heartbreaking.
I remember just thinking for that 1 or 2 seconds, how have I done this?
Did you go up to him and say, oh, it's all right, mate, and then back to the car and you slashed his tyres?
Pretty sure I ran him out. Called him through and then just, sorry, mate.
Yes, no!
But I'm pretty sure I've been on another hat trick for Kenwick too. I think there was one at Mills Park too when Tomo gave me a bowl just as a joke. And the very first ball got a wicket and then the next ball got another wicket.
And what happened to the hat trick ball?
Then I think I bowled a hell bad leg side wide. I really tried to put the tweak on it. But yeah, I'm pretty sure at Mills Park too, I was on another one as well. I just don't do well under pressure by that third ball. I'm already trying to make him not hit to the short boundary. I've got too many things on my plate.
I've been on a hat trick a couple of times. I always go, what I bowl, and I try and bowl these ripping wrong. And I'm better off just bowling a slow half trap piece of shit, and I'll probably sky and get out. Because they're just going to try and block me.
The key is to bowl your best ball, boys.
Yeah.
Bowl your best ball.
Bowl your best ball.
Fair enough. Well, look, we're going to jump into the quiz. It's 1st of 7.
I'm excited. Okay.
There's a couple of topics involved. Now, because I'm going to get a few people to participate in the quiz, this is elimination, so whoever loses this won't progress to the next round of the quiz, whenever that may be.
That's heartbreaking.
Oh, so a few people from other...
other podcast episodes. This is the first... You're the very first, so...
And it's 1st of 7 or best of 7?
It's 1st of 7.
Okay.
There's some categories. I'm going to read off the categories first. AFL.
Yep.
Cricket.
Yep.
Rugby. Yep. Who am I? And something else.
Okay.
Okay. So, do you guys want a paper, scissors, rock, and see gets to pick the first category or want to agree or...
You pick.
All right, Stephen's going to get to pick.
That's how confident I am.
With the rugby, is it league or union?
Mix. Ooh. Just rugby in general.
Let's start with AFL.
AFL. Okay, let's get into the first question here. AFL. Who won? For your buzzer, you just say your name. Okay? And whoever says it first will get the opportunity to guess. Who won yesterday's MVP for the 2020 AFL season?
Stephen.
Yes, Stephen.
Scott Pendlebury.
Scott Pendlebury. Hang on, sorry, hold on. It's incorrect.
Tom.
Yes, Tom.
Lachie Neale.
Lachie Neale. Correct. 1-0. He's off.
I thought it might be a bit of a biased question.
So now he's very happy with himself. Now you've got that, you get to choose the category now. Would you like to stay with AFL or go somewhere else?
Let's try one of the Who Am I's.
Who Am I? Okay. Now, Who Am I? There are 6 clues. If you can get it within 5 clues, you will get 2 points.
Ooh.
Okay? So when you buzz in, the clues will stop. Or you can listen to all 6 clues.
Okay.
I'm from New South Wales. I've played 4 test matches for Australia. I averaged 23.42 with the bat. I have best figures of 1 for 48. I'm 33 years old. I've only played for a single BBL team from their inception. All clues gone.
Can we have them again?
You can have them again. I'm from New South Wales. I played 4 test matches for Australia. I averaged 23.42 with the bat. I have best figures of 1 for 48. I'm 33 years old. I've only played for a single BBL team from their inception.
You said 4 test matches.
4 test matches, correct. Mm. Does that, someone want to have a stab?
Tom.
Tom?
Nathan Horitz.
Nathan Horitz.
I think he's from Queensland.
I thought he played for the Blues. Maybe I'm thinking of someone else.
I'll tell you what.
Mm.
This is an absolute corker.
Yeah.
Average of 23 with the bat. Played 4.
Oh, yeah, definitely not Nathan Horitz with it. 23 average, Tom. What are you thinking?
Four test matches.
Yeah.
Average 23.
Yeah.
New South Wales. You like to go the current cricketers as well, so.
Do I?
You do.
Have a stab.
I don't think that he is from New South Wales. Fuck, no, I got nothing.
Do you want to say who you were going to say?
Nah, because I just know it was wrong.
Well, I hope he is from New South Wales. Now I'm scared maybe I've got it wrong, but the answer is Moses Henriques.
Oh. I would have said he's more Portuguese.
Tom, you get to choose where we go now because no one got that.
What was the last one? The other?
Something else. Something else. Something,
yeah,
else.
Go something else.
Okay. In Tim-O-Matic's song, Set It Off, after he opens the song by saying his own name, what are the first 4 words of the song?
Stephen.
Stephen?
There's something about you.
Gone with the incorrect song list, and you're thinking Parachute.
I have no idea.
That's incorrect. I'm sorry. It was I See You Staring.
Ah, What You Wearing.
Yeah. Where do you want to go, Tommy? You going to say something else? Or?
Yeah, go something else.
Okay. How many Mission Impossible films have currently been released?
Stephen. Tom.
I heard Stephen first.
6.
6. To tie it at 1-all.
Seven's in production, I think.
Correct. Stephen, where do you want to go?
Cricket.
Which IPL team did Michael Hussey play for?
Stephen.
Yep.
Chennai Super Kings.
Correct. Where are you going now? Staying cricket?
If I stayed in cricket... Nah, let's go rugby.
Rugby?
I'm just going to keep this a fair fight.
This is multiple choice. Who captains the Western Force? Is it A, Ian Pryor, B, Andrew Deegan, C, Jim Trident, or D, Aaron Carlson?
Tom?
A. Is that a guess, a random guess?
Yep.
You know your rugby.
I had no idea.
Who are the Force even play still anymore?
Yeah, they got brought back up because the league was going in the shitter. Because remember, they got exiled.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't.
And now they're back.
Yeah.
Oh, good for them.
because they couldn't play teams from other countries, so they had Australia then only had four teams, so they had to bring four back to have five, I think.
Suck it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Where are you going?
AFL.
Channel 9 have a footy show that airs on Monday and Wednesday nights. What is it called?
Tom? Front Bar?
Yes, that's Channel 7 show.
Stephen? This is a guess.
Yeah.
Footy Classified.
Well done.
Caro Wilson.
We're at 2-all. You staying with AFL or you going somewhere else?
No, isn't that your third correct answer?
I don't know.
I think it's 2-all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another Who Am I.
Keep
it real fresh.
It's the last Who Am I. Okay. I was born in Victoria. I played AFL for West Coast my whole career. I also played a fair chunk of waffle footy at Swan Districts. I was a forward. I'm now assistant coach at the Western Bulldogs.
Stephen. Ashley Hansen.
For 2 points. Wowee, we're 4-2.
Gee whiz. There's no coming back from here, I don't think.
The great man, Ashley Hansen.
Well, we're out of film eyes.
Okay, what's left on the table?
Something else, rugby, cricket, and AFL.
Something else,
okay.
Here we go.
Is it all about Tim O'Matic? Can it be?
No. Well, last one was Mission Impossible.
Okay.
If you have cryophobia, what are you afraid of?
Stephen.
Yep.
The cold.
What was that?
The cold.
Wowee, he knows his stuff.
Did you guys talk about these questions before I got here?
That was impressive.
Cryogenics, mate.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Well, that's what I thought.
Too. I would have said crying if I didn't know.
Or the chiropractor.
So where are we going now, Stephen?
Let's go back to rugby.
Back to rugby.
5-2. This is going to be it.
In 2016, who won the Super Rugby?
Stephen.
Yep.
Chiefs. There's not enough Lee on this.
Was it the Wellington Hurricanes?
Oh, he nails it. He nails it. Wow, Lee, he's back. All right.
We've no Who Am I's to get 2 points, so I'm really
pushing shit up here.
Where do you want to go, Tom?
Go back to rugby.
How about the rugby?
I feel this is the only weak point Steve has.
Who is currently third on the NRL ladder?
Stephen. Parramatta Eels.
My team.
Oh, dude, that was stunned.
Sydney Roosters.
We're about to 4-5.
Roosters up to third.
Yeah.
This is dragged on for a while. I know you lads need to get going. So
what are we on? What's the score?
4-5. In favour of yourself.
Ooh.
Well, let's go to 6 instead of 7 then, mate.
We'll go to 6.
Yeah. See how confident I am.
Wow.
All right. Rugby is done.
You don't feel so fucking confident.
Okay, let's get back to 7. No. Something else,
okay. Music fans, are we into music?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do it. Is it Maroon 5? No, I haven't answered yet.
Matt Goss, Luke Goss, and Craig Logan made up which band?
Fucking crickets here, boys.
Matt Goss. Goss.
Look, I didn't know this band when I looked up the question, but I thought maybe you lads would.
How did you look up the question if you didn't know the band?
Is this niche Australian bands?
I don't know. I don't know who they are. It's a band.
You've never heard of the band before?
No.
Okay, how am I supposed to know, bud?
Well, you guys know music better than me.
Pass.
So.
Because he's passed. I'll take a stab. I'll say like the All-American Rejects or something like that.
No. They're called the Bros.
Name one of their hits.
No idea.
Bet you can't.
No, I can't. Start something else, or are you going to a different category?
Go footy.
Footy, okay.
Let's get this done.
Who won the 2001 AFL Premiership?
Stephen.
Yep.
Oh. Brisbane Lions.
He's done it. He's done it.
Them or the Bombers.
Were you thinking of going the Bombers at one point there?
No, I was thinking Port Adelaide, but they were 04, weren't they?
04, yes. Yeah.
1, 2, 3 was Brisbane. Let's go to 7, hey?
All right.
I don't want this victory to be tainted when I'm playing against other individuals.
Well, Steven, where do you want to go? You want to stay AFL? You want to go?
I definitely want to go to cricket.
Oh, okay.
He's bowling at the tail end now, isn't he?
Who did Mitchell Johnson play his last test match against?
Steven. New Zealand at the Wacker.
Well, does he get 2 points because he did that?
No, he doesn't. Just for being a smartass, he actually loses. No,
that pitch was bloody deader than Murray Williams.
He bowled on the last day, but the game was like over.
Yeah.
It was a road.
Taylor made some runs that game.
He did. I think Khawaja might have made some runs too.
Wanya Usman.
Maybe. I think a lot of people made runs that game. Look, lads. It's an absolute pleasure having you on. Probably one of my favourite episodes. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I can't wait to come back.
Yeah. When do we get to come back, Matty?
Oh, just shoot me a message and I'm sure we can make it happen again.
Nice.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, lads.
No, thanks for having us,
Thank
mate.
You.
Really
Thank
good,
you.
Good time coming in and having a chat with you, mate.
Lovely. Stay dangerous. And that is all from Matt Chats for this week. Remember, leave a rating, leave a review. Hit that subscribe button, do what you got to do. I'll see you next time. Have a good one.